Jaha, idag är det lite annorlunda.
Mycket annorlunda.
Ja, idag kommer vi prata lite engelska.
Jaha, jag trodde inte det var det som var lite annorlunda.
Ja, men det är lite annorlunda. Och tycker man inte att det är intressant eller inte förstår engelska, så kan man ändå ha behållning för att man kan skratta åt vårt uttal. Så att, det finns något för alla.
Men jag är ju sån här simultan tolk.
Ja, just det. Det där som jag inte riktigt förstår vad det är.
När du inte förstår vad det innebär.
Ja. Nej, men det blir bra.
Jag lovar att alla som lyssnar på det här kommer förstå. Jag trodde du menade att det här var lite speciellt för att jag har fastat.
Men det, ja, det är ju också. Ja, fast den är ju över nu, har vi förstått. För det är något fruktansvärt vad socker du har tryckt i dig idag. Det är ju, Campy, hör du det här? Det är, jag förstår inte hur... Är det din rekommendation? Så då har jag missuppfattat allt.
PT, det kanske står för något annat.
Ja.
Personlig trugare.
Jag kan bli din PT, ja.
Det är min PT, men ja, du, vår hemliga gäst då?
Mm. Det ska bli väldigt spännande idag.
Hur hittade vi honom?
Ja, men vi hade ju en tidigare gäst här, eller hur?
Yes.
Som
Isabella.
Och då tipsade ju hon om oss om dagens gäst.
Så var det.
Mm.
Så jag har varit hemma hos dagens gäst.
Ja, just det. Du var ju hos henne på healing.
Ja, jag
healing,
gick på
va?
Healing, exakt. Men dagens gäst kanske inte vet att jag var hemma hos dem. Jag har rotat i alla deras lådor. Nej, jag skojar bara.
Inte okej.
Okay. Inte okej. Okay. Vi är ju nämligen grannar också. Återkommande det här med Tyresö.
Ja, jag säger det. Det är något slags andligt getto. Alla bor i Tyresö.
Ja. Vi försöker lösa det här med språket så att alla ni som lyssnar, ni kommer hänga med.
Mm.
Hur det går till, det vet jag inte. Men jag får väl kanalisera.
Ja, det kommer lösa sig fint.
Har det förresten hänt någonting andligt i ditt liv idag?
Idag?
Ja.
Nej, andligt? Ja, nej. Däremot så kan jag ju berätta, igår hände ju något väldigt roligt.
Igår var det en vanlig onsdag.
Ja, men snälla människa. Jag var ju och tittade på en hund.
Just det, för ja, det här kommer bli en hundpodd.
Så nu ska jag köpa hund igen och det är jätteroligt.
Är det bestämt att ni ska köpa hund?
Ja, det är det.
Men nu ska ni tänka på saker.
Ja, men det var ju för att det är sånt man säger för att det ska låta så här.
Seriöst.
Oh, nu ska vi fundera. Men vi har bestämt oss när vi gick därifrån. Så att det är klart.
Mm. Okej, hur länge ska det gå innan man vågar berätta för uppköparen? Uppköparen höll på att säga för uppfödaren att ni ska köpa.
Måndag.
Mm,
så det blir roligt.
Tänk om hon säger så här, ni tog så lång tid på er. Om ni är så där tveksamma. Då vill
men det
var
ju hon som föreslog måndag. Så att...
Aha, okej. Mm. Ja. Mm. Grattis.
Ja, tack. Det blir en liten Harry.
Harryboy.
Harry, det är coolt. Ja, men ska vi gå vidare nu eller?
Okej, vi går vidare. Welcome.
Thank you.
And you have to introduce yourself.
Thanks for having me, first of all. Good to be here.
Very nice to have you.
My name is Daniel Müller, and originally from Germany, and I work with breathwork. I started as a Wim Hof instructor about 10 years ago. I put people in the ice, and here in Scandinavia 10 years ago, people thought I was crazy. Now everyone's doing it. I was helping people breathe better. They thought all I was crazy. Now everyone's doing it. And then I was helping people with their mindset and their belief systems. And that was also seen a little crazy 10 years ago. And now everyone's doing it. And then I started as a co-founder Hale Center, the Breathwork Center. Here, the first European, probably worldwide, breathwork center that combines all major breathing practices in one place. And it's just about breathwork. You know, there's a lot of centers that mix yoga and other kinds of things, but it's really just focused on teaching breathing in various different forms because it's very, very powerful. And then I moved on about 1.5 years ago. And now I do a 360 personal development journey for leadership, performance, and all-round health and well-being for men right now, focused at men. And that is called Sculp. And how I got there was through one-on-one coaching, actually. and facilitating my own journey through healing depression, suicidal thoughts, addiction, alcohol and cigarettes, and literally just short-term gratification. And over time, I've found that things work for me, and I try them with others, and they work for others. And now it's relatively easy because I have quite a lot of experience under my belt, which shows that certain things work for every human being, and they're much easier than we think. They're usually lifestyle related. And then other things need to be really customized and specified. And there's a motto that I have, which is that the person always already knows what they need. They just don't want to know sometimes, because there's a cost related to being healthy and there's a cost related to being sick. And very often there's a want to stay where we're at because the fear of the unknown is too big. And through that, then there's this peace that happens in the mind of people, which is I rather keep the hell that I know than the unsure heaven across the road. Yeah, so that's a little summary right now of what I've been doing so far.
I have to ask you, just when you say this, did you think a lot of people think it's quite provocative?
What exactly?
That you say that that they often stay in their current situation because they don't want to, you know, make the effort.
Yeah, I mean... I would say that anyone who calls out a specific victim mindset, anyone can take anything as a provocation. Mm. But anyone who hears that the intention is that, like, if someone is happy where they're at, let them be where they're at. But I know that a lot of people, they would really like to be somewhere else. And then they don't know the way or the method how to actually move forward. And methods only work that far, but principles for life, they really work all the time. And right now, I just see that a lot of people are not equipped. And that's the reason why I'm sharing everything that I have. I wouldn't have a job if people would know the way to long fulfilled health and happiness. It's very simple. So there's so much work to do out there. So provocation, I mean, sometimes we need a little provocation, I would say.
Absolutely.
You know, to just get our asses up, because I think there is a there is something to do.
Absolutely.
Jag kastar in en liten översättning här till vår svenska.
Jaha, du har redan varit så snabb.
Toppen.
Exakt. Så Daniel, han är här. Och han har ju det här magiska ordet igen, breathwork. Det har ju alla hört. Och säga en miljon gånger kanske.
Ja, typ.
I något avsnitt så hotar det med att ligga på deras gräsmatta och kräva breathwork.
Ja, just det.
Det här är den gräsmattan. Mm. Ja. Men, och Daniel jobbar ju nu med män. Och just ledarskap sedan 1,5 år tillbaka. Och han har ju själv jättemycket erfarenhet om man tittar på de här missbruksfrågorna och det här med hälsa. Och sen tänkte jag på det här med isvak. Det är sant att för 10 år sedan tänkte man att folk var ju helt galna när de hoppade i de här isvak. Och...
Men det var typ bara i Finland man gjorde sånt.
Ja, exakt. Det är bara vi finnar. Och sen så... is he from Austria? No.
Who? Me?
No, the guy.
Oh,
the...
he's from the Netherlands. Netherlands. Wim Hof. Yeah. From Amsterdam.
Amsterdam, yeah.
And the Finns, they usually jump in and they get out again.
Yes.
So we stay in for minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and usually without the ice bath, without the sauna. We do it sometimes with the sauna. I love the mix, but we do it without the sauna usually.
Ja, det är lite hardcore. Alltså
I write hardcore.
Hardcore, exakt. För att de doppar sig i vattnet, men de hoppar inte in i bastun som vi finnar gör. Att det var det som var skillnaden, att de stannar kvar i det här kalla vattnet. And it's that kind of breathwork that makes them...
There's one breathing technique for the Wim Hof method that he recommends, which helps with adrenaline and norepinephrine, which is helps with pain and discomfort. So there's a breathing technique also where we can create something called inner fire. And so this is a Tibetan Tantrayana technique from Tibet, and he made it more accessible for the 21st century Westerner. And that's why it's actually brilliant what he did. I mean, he took ancient psychotechnology, psychological technology that we influences the body as well, and the body influences the psychology then. And he took that, put it together, and brought it out for the masses, which is a major game changer. So if you do it right and careful and really listen to the body, then there's very fast changes available in just a few months. So that was what also did a huge impact in my life. And that's what I shared for many, many years. And it's still part of my toolbox. I just find it relatively limiting today. It's the same thing as breathwork. I find breathwork is very powerful and incredible. And I'm just scraping on the surface of what breathwork is available after 10 years of research and practicing. Yet breathwork is not the answer. You know, some people, it will help to train their breath. Everyone would benefit, especially becoming a nose breather, stopping breathing, upper lung breathing. There's a lot of just basic things, how to breathe proper. But then ultimately, breath is not enough. We need to look at a holistic picture in my eyes. So a lot are trying to find this one-hit wonder, you know, this golden or silver bullet. And I really believe that it's more like all the small golden nuggets put together that make huge impact.
Exactly.
But could breathwork function as a start?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Breathwork is a really great way because it works. Anyone can do it. Yeah. Any age. If you're not breathing, you're probably dead. So everyone's breathing and you have 25,000 breaths about per day. And if you just control 200 or 500 of them, you will feel massive difference. And today, the big problem for many people is that they cannot relax. We call it chronic stress. In my reality, chronic stress is just someone who doesn't know how to calm themselves down and relax. That's it. And with your breath, it's scientifically just proven that one of the fastest ways is to just do a double inhale through the nose and a sigh of relief out through the mouth. Do that a few times. And then you just naturally get a little sleepy and a little tired, and that's called the activation of the parasympathetic nervous system. So it's right there. It's right underneath our noses. So the answer to chronic stress is learn how to breathe and how to relax at will. Mm. And this is a lot of people don't know, so they pop pills or do all kinds of things to calm themselves down, and that's not going to do the trick. I mean, this is physiology. Physiology means we need to understand how this spaceship that we call body actually functions. And it's just sad that so many people have no idea about this. And that's why we also opened the center and we're working with top companies around the world right now. So there's a lot of like awareness now for that we can enhance. You know, we need to get a little sneaky. We need to say it's performance. Because it's true. If we always press the gas pedal over and over and over, what's going to happen? We run out of gas and we break down. And so burnout, what we call burnout or what we call fatigue or just constantly being sick, it's just a manifestation of someone who's not in connection with their inner world and with their body. And with breathing, you can access the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual aspects of a human being, all in one. Can lay down, do a deep breathwork session for half an hour, an hour, and a lot of people have incredible experiences that usually would be comparable to psychedelics. Maybe not as long and strong, but I mean, I've experienced my fair share, and I know I've facilitated over 25,000 people on breathwork, and they tell their stories. And so this is not just some fantasy, you know, and it's very easy. It's like lay down, breathe for 25, 30 minutes to begin with. And everyone has an experience because this is psychophysiology. Change your breath, you change your biochemistry. Biochemistry changes how you think and how you feel. Very simple. It's a very, very powerful tool. Mm-hmm.
I think at working places, they should have breath work.
Yeah, but I want to ask, why just men?
It's very simple because I'm a man. If I were a woman, I would work with women. And I work with men right now because after I work with groups. I love mixed groups. I love men. I love women. I love mixes of men and women and whatever. So I don't have a problem with that. I just noticed that the most lost right now are men. It sounds a little like weird, but you know, there's a lot of perceptions about men and the patriarchy and all of those things. I would say, like, seems like they don't really know what men go through today. I mean, men have the highest suicide rate. Men are the ones under the highest pressure. Men are the least taken care of in our society. I mean, we're the cannon fodder. I mean, just go to Ukraine and see there how men are treated and how women are treated, and no one wants equality there, you know? So men are really the cannon fodder of civilization. And some men really benefit from the structures right now in the world, but I think it's really a common suffering between men and women at this point in time. And I just saw that the training that we provide, the program that we provide, it's very different for men than for women. The topics are the same. The journey is similar. But if I talk to a woman or a group of women in the same way I would talk to those men, it would not function. And the reason why it wouldn't function is because I discovered that in the personal development world right now, there's this big focus on women, because the women are actually 75 to 80% of the market. It's the same thing with diets. The diets for women are not the diets for men, but they were promoted that way. So men were starting to eat salads and all kind of things like that, and it's just ridiculous. It just doesn't fit that way, just from our hormones and our relationship to the body. But then the same thing is here. So we all hear, just love yourself, just love yourself, just love yourself. Yeah, that works very well for women. It doesn't work for the most of the men, because men's way to self-love, and ultimately we want to love ourselves for sure, but men's way to self-love is self-respect. So women crave safety provided by someone loving them. So that works for them to feel safe. And men need respect to feel safe. This is also the origin of the most relational dramas that were that are playing out all over the world. People not understanding the differences between that. So a man just wants to be respected, honored for what he brings to the table. If he doesn't get that, he's going to use fear and violence. And it's sad. And I have been seeing that in myself as well, especially when I was younger, how I was reacting to disrespect and dishonor. And then obviously that makes the woman feel not loved. So there's this process of both of them feeling insecure and unsafe. And so the job that we're doing right now is we are creating spaces for men to respect themselves. And that has many, many different shapes. And we need to go 360 because we're not all the same. But the process is the same. We all need to master self-mastery. We all need to master our physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual dimensions. So this is the process that we work on. And then we have the 8 outer aspects of wealth. And that is, we begin with self-mastery, where we literally look at how does this inner world reflect in the outer world. So we take care of our thoughts. We learn how to feel our emotions and express them in a healthy manner. We take care of the body. So we need to know how to sleep, how to eat, how to move, how to take care of ourselves. And then we need to also connect to something higher than ourselves, because in our time and age, everyone's pretending like there's no energy or spirit or soul. And all of the great thinkers and talkers and people of great stature talk about the soul. I mean, everyone from Goethe down to Carl Gustav Jung, one of the most famous psychotherapists or psychologists in the world. He spent the last 20 years talking about the soul, and everyone thought he went bonkers. But everyone else who actually like connects a little inwards, they start talking about, who am I in connection to the universe? And this nihilism that is going around right now, like, it doesn't matter, you know, I don't believe in anything. I don't believe in anything just means I don't believe in anything. So they're still believing, just they believe in nothing. And that's a really bad culture. I mean, I know myself where how I was living when I believed that nothing is connected and nothing matters. And we're all so tiny, so it doesn't matter. And the world is going to shit anyway. So let's keep on shitting on everything else, including ourselves. So I'm a big advocate of finding who am I in relationship to the universe? And who am I in relationship to my soul? And I don't have to wait 5 years before I'm going to die and I'm really old to explore this stuff. I can just start now to start a relationship with death, which helps me have a better relationship with life. Because life and death, they just belong together. And we're all just pretending it's not going to happen. So if I think about my death day, and we do that also with the men a lot, we think about the day we're going to die. And we're going to look at what is going to matter for us. And the majority of the stuff we do, we're not just going to give a shit about. And so we're going to look and we track back from who are we going to think, who are we trying to impress in our lives? And we try to impress everyone else. And then at the end, the only one judging ourselves about our life is going to be us. So actually the only person we want to impress is ourselves. And that is in correlation to how we loved our family, our community, and ourselves. And so we're actually here to do what we're here to supposed to do that comes from our inside out, not evaluation from others, not them gathering and telling us what to do, but we know already what is right inside. And we need to bring this out again because we've all been indoctrinated. We've all been trained to listen to everyone else but ourselves. And I'm not saying become a narcissistic asshole and don't believe to anyone or listen to anyone else. I'm talking about finding a good balance between honoring ourselves and others. But ultimately, who is there to judge? And it's just ourselves. So with men, we target men specifically too because our physiology is different from women. And you know, there's this whole, in my eyes, complete utter nonsense going around where men are saying they can become women and women say they can become men. Like there's so much more to it, to being a woman than I could ever, like, I'm a man. And this is, you know, I'm born a man or a woman or a hermaphrodite. And hermaphrodites, they exist and they're very rare. And if not, for me, people can be whatever they want to be. You know, I'm like, yeah, you were born a man, now you want to be a woman. You're going to be, to me, a man, born man who wants to be a woman. And you can be a dog if you like. You can be a potato chip. Like, be whatever thing you want to be. I'm just going to always be aware of what is physically in front of me as well. And anyone can feel what they like inside. But if I treat a man like a woman from their physiology, there's something going on. I mean, if I'm trying to have a baby with that man who wants to be a woman, it's not going to work. It's just very simple. Yeah, so I don't have to be delusional about that. And in that case, too, men have a 24-hour hormonal system rhythm. And women have a 28-day hormonal system rhythm. And a lot of women who I know, and they're usually also connected and they know a lot about everything, but they don't know their own cycles. So they don't know that they're a little bit more aggressive during their moons and a lot more sensitive and that they need more space and more care and then that they should actually be working out in different ways according to that cycle. And for me, it's kind of funny, like I'm sitting here as a man and I know more about female cycles than a lot of women nowadays, and it's so disconnected. So we're actually working on a female scalp as well, run by women, supported by men, and we have women supporting the men scalp as well. But we're focusing on specifically the initiation rites for men. They don't exist today anymore. So initiation rites were where elder men, the elders of a tribe, were creating a scenario to transmit high-level information on a psychophysiological level again, so on all levels, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, to teach young men what it means to be an adult. This is also the process called individuation from Carl Gustav Jung. So because today we can just say that a lot of men emotionally and psychologically have the behavior of little children or teenagers, which means we don't take any responsibility for our life. So we blame others. And we want a mama. We don't want an equal partner. And we think that the world revolves around us. And so there's this child psychology and the male masculine psychology that we're actually looking for, like ripened male psychology that we're translating into, and at the same time, we actually become more and more connected to our inner child, to our playfulness, to the aliveness of being in our bodies, in the state. So natural curiosity comes up again. So these are all reasons why we actually need to go really sure that men understand how they function, women understand how they function, and that we're from our value equal, but we're not the same. And this idea that we're all the same just comes from some really strange way of thinking. Because we just have to accept that there's limitations to everything and everyone. And it's this idea that someone is having an easier time than someone else that makes it very weird. And we're trying to compare to other people, and it just doesn't work that way. And so we're here to help clarify and help men make sense of the things that I think they should have been transmitted a long time ago. And, you know, we're in the era of the absent fathers. I had an absent father, so I had no proper role models. Mine was like Kurt Cobain and Jimi Hendrix. Yeah. The rebels. I liked that at that time. Now I look back and I'm just like, they were like seriously messed up. I mean, they did great art, but they died with 26 on drug abuse, you know? So those were heroes of my time, which is incredibly sad. Like looking at that now. And so somehow the message became, I was yearning for male role models. So what I became for myself and now for people around me, and I'm surrounded by role models everywhere. So for me, every man living their life, and if they find their truth and their honesty and their ground and all of that, they are role models for me. Because they're showing the way, and there's no one way, yeah? There's about 4 billion men, there's 4 billion women, so there's 4 billion ways of being a man, and there's 4 billion ways of being a woman. That's the process. And so we're helping men find their own way, and when they do, they feel different, they act different. And our biggest fans right now are the wives and children and friends and family of those people that we support.
And that makes you the perfect husband also, because you know everything about the men and women.
I would wish that were so. I would wish that were so. I would say that my biggest frontier right now is my romantic relationships too, because I worked through a lot of trauma and a lot of things that are happening. And yet I still find myself sometimes in situations where I would love to act better than I do. And I had some serious problems a few years ago with the mother of my child right now, and we're split. And I did a lot of stupid things because I was pushed to the edge. And, you know, I have a tendency to be way too patient and really not see reality sometimes in my relationships. So I can get a little blinded, and then I stay in things that are not good for me for way too long. And that is still something that maybe you can hear is quite painful to just face, you know, to notice. Doesn't matter how much I know about things, I still behave like a jerk sometimes, you know. And I really wish, you know, with all of the tricks and authentic relating, and what really helps me a lot is listening to other masters in relationships, and they say that they fail regularly. And I'm like, oh, thank God. I just thought that I was just retarded. But it seems to be the biggest frontier for most people are their romantic relationships. And I'm looking forward to just find a loving, peaceful space, highly respectful, where things just flow. And until then, I will be doing my best to clear whatever I can clear and bring my best behavior there. And it's worlds between now. So I... Just to say that, I want to own my shadows and my struggles. And because if not, people think that I'm some holy person, and I'm just a normal person like everyone else. I just found some really cool tricks to get rid of the majority of the other issues. And so the level of inner peace and joy and energy that I experience on a daily basis, that's what I would love everyone else to feel. Because if not, I mean, I know the opposite as well.
Yeah,
and I think you're a really good teacher, I can tell.
Thank you.
It's very inspiring to listen to you. But where do you think we went wrong? Do you think, have humanity always been, like, not in touch with ourselves, or is it a modern thing, or?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I wish I knew the answer to that. I have my speculations.
Yeah.
You want to hear some speculations? Yeah. Because I'm not so sure about history. You know, like I learned all of the history. I loved history. So I went deep into history and the backgrounds and everything. But I'm not sure that that's the real story anymore. Just because I noticed that a lot of the things that were taught to me, I needed to unlearn to find the truth inside of myself. So I'm at a place where I do know that it was clear already that 150 years ago that the new diets, white flour, sugared stuff, has been destroying our health. And it's Darwin already wrote on it a book how the new diet was destroying people's health. And then about 100 years ago, there was Weston Price who wrote a book on it and did research, like really good research, going around and photographing the mouth and the teeth of kids and also grown-ups around. And he clearly could establish the same ground that our diets, that what we eat is way more important than what we think it is. And he actually put together physical degeneration, but he also was one of the first one and way ahead of his time. He wasn't only putting physical and nutritional degeneration in according with diet, he was also putting emotional and virtue and value degeneration. When the body deprives of nutrients, then the rest also deprives. And I mean, like, I remember hearing that stuff 10 years ago and I thought, like, what nonsense are people talking about? Like, what emotions can make people sick? That's what I was thinking. I'm like, what honk bullshit am I hearing right now, right? And in Germany, I was very scientific, like driven, like everything needed to be validated. And then I noticed that the majority of things that I'm interested in, there is no validation. We need to find the way forward. They didn't even know about breathing. So like they're giving people pills, but they don't teach them just double inhale, sigh of relief to get rid of their constant stress. I'm like, sorry guys, like, fail. Like, I'm teaching it my son. He's now 4. Like, he comes to me sometimes and he says, Daddy, anders in. Anders it. Yeah. When he hits his knee, it really hurts. Or when he hurts himself, right? Then I pick him up. He's crying. And then I ask him, should we breathe together? And he's like, yeah. 1 minute later or 30 seconds later, he's running around like a crazy guy again. So there's real power in this here. So if we look now at this piece of diet, what else are we not doing that is in according with natural understanding of this spaceship? And that has been my exploration now. And I think there's a huge multitude of things that this current state of mind that we have in the West is making us sick. And dis-ease, if we just look at the word, it's dis-ease, so not being at ease. And I used to have a lot of disease. And now there's none, and I know how I feel. And I personally believe that a lot of this here is by design. Why? Because we just have to, in my eyes, see the trail of money, follow the trail of money. Right now, Big Pharma is the number one lobby in the US. And for me, I was lobbyism in the US equals harm done to humans. So you need to buy a lot of politicians. And before it was the oil industry and it was the military complex. And now it's the pharma industry. And the pharma industry belongs to oil. So big oil already back then. And this year is all history. We can actually go on and research it. But I don't want to deep dive into that because it doesn't really matter. To me, it doesn't matter where does it actually come from. Where did we go wrong? How? Because I don't really know. I know that there's a lot of greed in the world. And so that's one thing that brings people into really doing things to other people that are maybe not so useful.
But isn't it connected to our economic system? I mean, capitalism, everything should grow. It's more.
Yeah.
And, you know, people just need to work harder, make faster, you have to make more, and then you have this greed and everything else.
Agreed. I mean, for me, my philosophy is just, you probably heard the story of planned obsolescence. It's the plan of the industry, you know, like 110, 120 years ago, scientists and corporations, they were actually trying to build things for forever. You know, it was all about building things that last long, that are really powerful and really great, and building the best things possible. And then there was Osram. So Osram, the light bulb maker.
Yeah.
And Osram noticed that they were selling less and less and less light bulbs. Why? Because they made light bulbs that held for over 100 years. Yeah? So imagine, you bought one light bulb, you never bought a new one for that lamp again.
That's a bad business, man.
It's a very bad business. Exactly. Yeah. It's very, very good for the planet. It's very, very good for humans. It's very, very bad for profit. So what they noticed was they started tinkering with their light bulbs and started making them less efficient. So then they made the first monopoly, which was later then broken up. So they talked to all the other light bulb producers, and they all agreed that they're not going to create light bulbs that last longer than 3,000 hours. So that was the beginning. And obviously at once their sales skyrocketed. And that was the beginning and the birth of planned obsolescence. And you can see it probably in your phones nowadays. Yeah, the shitty old phones of 10, 15 years ago. They were like, you could fall down and like
Nokia. Not break. Nokia. You can kill people with a Nokia.
Exactly, exactly. And they would last and last and last forever. And now somehow always when 2-3 years is over, something weird happens with the phone or with the laptop or the printer. And they've been doing research. I mean, they have chips installed that make the piece malfunction. Or they build a car where then everything is quite good, but specific pieces malfunction. So this is kind of like a built-up process. And then obviously, like you're saying, bigger, better, faster, all those things. And it's external. It's not internal. Internal, bigger, better, faster, like without like needing the greed like a cancerous cell. More like going into, would I like, am I happy with where I'm at today? And I would like to go further, you know, like a healthy way of personal development. Not like I want to do personal development because I suck. It's more like I need to do personal development because I love myself so much and I respect myself so much that I'm going to keep on moving towards my best possible future. It's a very simple thing, but then it's externalized. So yeah, I'm fully with you there that
and economy could play. If you follow your inner voice, for example, and you want to be a better person, but still you're living in this system, that's not so easy. So maybe that's where we fail often.
I love what you're saying there too, and I think it is a real challenge. I mean, there's the saying in ancient philosophies of the right-hand path, the left-hand path, and the middle path. You guys probably heard of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one is the path of abstinence, like the monk, like you do everything right. It's the path of yoga where you work a lot on yourself because something is wrong with you. So you need to work to get back on track. And then you have the left-hand path, which is that nothing is wrong with you. Everything is perfect always. So we should just surrender and accept whatever is, even all our darknesses. Yeah. So that's the path of like Tantra. And then there's the middle path. And the middle path today is the path of the modern human who lives in urban cities or suburban areas. And there we need to now handle the modern world in combination with a little piece of domesticated nature inside of us as well. And then handle all of the toxins and all of the stuff that is being pumped into us and find our way and be a mother and a father while trying to create enough living space for like thriving and wealth. It's crazy. But I think it's the fun challenge today, because the fun challenge would be, I mean, we need to understand that the system that we're following right now is utterly failing. Like, I think that's one of the first things to just recognize. Like, it is really just at the edge of everything. I mean, we're looking at it over and over. I'm just wondering, when is this whole thing going to collapse? And we are all like, that's the story going around in Netflix and everywhere. It's just like people feel this lurking doom. Yeah, like the before the collapse of the Roman Empire, everyone's like kind of feeling like what's going on. Will this cold? Will it not? But it somehow keeps on running because they're like artificially keeping it alive. Yeah. And so I'm just excited. I think this is a wonderful time to be alive with a lot of potential, with a lot of possibilities for both doom, total and utter domination by technology in the future. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because the worst thing that can happen is happening right now, which is that technology can be used as military troops against humans. Yeah, because then you don't need other humans who might betray you because they actually love other humans. So you can eliminate that and dominate people through technology, which is a very dangerous path we're right now on, like totally dangerous. And then also there's another path of liberation that is opening up. So I'm just excited to see what are we going to choose as humans? What path are we willing to walk? And there's going to be pain and a cost for each of the options. So,
yeah, but I have to talk about my grandmother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. Please. You talk so fast.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, because I was thinking today I was thinking when I was vacuum cleaning. Mm-hmm. I do that sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. Because if you visit my grandmother, she's dead 25 years ago, but it still looks the same in her house. You know, the same sofa, same bed, you know. And if you were there at the 80s, it looks the same. But now you don't have the same carpet more than 2 years. Just buy and buy. And I was thinking about that today. That I have a grandson. Can I buy a new kitchen table? Because I want him to feel the same when you come to your grandmother. That it's the old, same kitchen table.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I understand what you mean, yeah.
You don't feel like that. You just want to buy a new sofa. And
no, but I... Well, it's nice when I go home to, like, well, my grandma's.
Yeah, and it looks like.
But if it looks and feels like it's always have done, it's comforting. It's nice.
Yeah,
it's
but nice she's oh she oh also was 40 years old, and now she's 80, for an example, and she doesn't have to buy a new kitchen table every 5th year.
No,
so it doesn't have anything to do with her age.
Okay. You lost me. You had me there. I saw the light.
I may just reflect. Yeah. So what I hear you say is that, so your grandma now is 80.
Or now she's one? Very dead.
Okay. No, she's dead 80.
She's not just dead. She's very dead.
But, she's very dead.
But about 40 years ago already in the 80s, she bought her her home and put everything inside, and it looked that way for 40 years until she died.
So. Yeah,
kind of similar.
Yeah. Okay. And it doesn't matter if it's 30 or 50 years, but now the new generation, you can't have the same sofa for more than 3 years.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's true. Yeah. They've all been induced with the new syndrome.
Yeah, everything. Now you can buy it's April. You have to have new pillows to your sofa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, here's the conundrum, right? So the conundrum is very simple, right? Which is Germany, for example, I don't know the numbers now anymore, but it used to be that we need to grow from our Bruttosozialprodukt, like it's a total income of the country, to be able to hold up with what's it called? Not the loans to the bank. What's it called when the banks, like we owe money to the banks?
Skuld.
Yeah, skuld. Skuld. Yeah, schulden. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
debt.
Debt. Yes. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Mm. So because of the debts that the government is taking, and every government in Europe, as much as I know, is highly indebted, so they need to get a certain growth on top of the growth that they already have, and we're talking somewhere between 3% and 5% every year. Now it's way higher due to the inflation. So every year, Germany needs to produce 3% to 5% more than they did the year before. If not, people suffer. Yeah. So there's no jobs and shit hits the fan. So there's this like artificially induced growth must by, and I'm pointing this here out over and over, and it's incredible that a lot of people don't know about this, but our currency system is not owned by the government. Yeah. Our currency system is owned by private bankers. So the German people are loaning from a private bank their own, back then German Deutschmarks, now it's the euro, from a central bank that sounds like it is a government, but it's actually a private bank. So we're going to private banks to take the currency that is actually backed by a country and the people who live and produce there. This is actually total insanity. And I mean, a lot of people have died for trying to fight the system over and over and over again. And now it's pretty much dominated almost around the whole world. I think the last one standing is like Iran and North Korea or something like that. So the currency model is that we need to, like, to get 100 euros from, or 100, let's say 1,000 kroner from the bank, we need to pay interest back. Let's say it's just like 5%. So we need to pay back 1,050 kroner, if I got this right now, to pay back to the bank. But where does this 50 kroner come from? Mm-hmm. Right. So it's a debt system. It's a slave system. That's how we're hooked into this wheel, the hamster wheel that has to keep on turning. And this is why I'm saying the system is totally rigged. And this year has been proclaimed for anyone who wants to know, anyone who knows finances, they know that the whole system is rigged and everyone's just waiting till this wheel is going to blow up. Maybe it's going to spin another 100 years, maybe just another 3 years. We're just all diving ourselves into debt towards today imaginary money. It's all just imagination. It's just numbers on a computer. It's not backed by gold. It's not backed by anything. I mean, we could also all just decide that from today on, we're all going to pay in hazelnuts. Mm. And if we all agree on it, hazelnuts is going to be the new currency. I mean, this is the fallacy and the idiocy, and it's the insanity that we're all in. I mean, we could all just, you know, have a different system running at this moment, and they're controlling it. They is the financiers and the bankers and the powerful people who are running the show in the background. I mean, there's hundreds of them who have more wealth than countries. And they are creating highs and lows. And, you know, they have their shopping times. So when it's high, they just wait. Everyone spends and does things and builds things. And there's a rush. Everything grows. It's very nice. And then comes the crash. And you can check. It's almost every 7 years. Now it's been a little longer. But every 7 to 9 years, usually there's a crash. And that's summer sale shopping for very powerful and rich people. So the company that the person didn't want to sell just 3 years ago, now they're trying to get rid of so they can go shopping. And this is really what has been going on over and over and over again. So if we would look again, like what has been creating all of this here, as I said, like eventually greed, power hungry, a disconnection from other humans, disconnection of nature, disconnection from maybe something higher than ourselves, because then we can just pretend like we're not all connected. And so these systems, it's available to know. I mean, there is documentaries on it, the Golden Rule, all kind of things where like they win all kinds of awards for the best documentary 2008 or when that was. And nothing changes.
Everybody looks and yeah. Think it's great. It feels so positive. But I have to go and buy some new pillows.
Yes. Yeah. Just this time.
Precisely. It's Black Friday, guys. But yeah. Like, who cares? As long as I can keep on buying my stuff here, I'm good.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Yeah, it's really interesting, though.
Yeah.
But it feels like you can go mad if you think about it too much.
Totally.
And I don't think that's good for you.
I think I was definitely mad for a while and depressed when I started. And I don't ask me why, but I've been researching this stuff since I was 11. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because when I came here to this planet, yeah, my parents raised me like everyone's equal, men and women, black people, everyone's just equal, white or whatever, it doesn't really matter. And then I like was in this little nice bubble that my parents created. And then their marriage just completely, utterly failed. And then I saw that people were not equal or treating each other justly. And then in Germany, you're being raised in shame and blame and guilt for what I've never done 50, 60 years ago. And so I was feeling like this blame and shame and guilt. And in history class, I remember, I think I was in sixth grade or something. And then we were going through the First and Second World War. And I was like, what is this? What insanity has been played out here? And why are humans so messed up? And so I started digging, and then I found that everyone was at war with each other at some time or date. I mean, and if they weren't with war with someone else, they were with war with themselves. So I was like, I was just like looking at it, and then I wondered why. So I started asking these questions very young, and I found answers, right? So back then, the internet just came. Yeah, I mean, you all remember the time?
Yeah.
I love the sound.
As someone left the phone in the exactly. house, and you went crazy exactly. because then you had to start all over again. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're the like the last generation who knows the difference between before and after. And there's at that time, you know, a lot of the stuff that I researched that is now completely and utterly confirmed was being portrayed as conspiracy. But nowadays, it's clear that the majority of these things is just pure facts. Just it's very easy to call it conspiracy. And I mean, we just have to, as I said, follow the line of money, and all of it is available. Like, this is researched pieces. I mean, it's obvious already that the CIA was involved with shooting Kennedy. There were lawsuits behind it. Why does no one talk about it? Why is it not on big media? That already says enough there. And so I was researching these things, and I got highly depressed, and I got very, very sad, and I would definitely say that I became very pessimistic. But there was always the spark inside of me. I just loved nature. I loved people. I loved life, even though sometimes I really didn't want to be a human and I didn't want to be here. And so after about a few years of suffering, and I finally found my first love with 17 properly, and that boosted, I was like, oh, there's actually things to live for. This is nice. And my family, obviously, without them, I probably wouldn't be here. And then I started looking at all the good things. Because sometimes, I mean, we look at the news and the wars and things that's going on, and they're far away, but somehow they're very close, and it's scary. Right now, the unknown is just pressing on all of us, and we're like, what's going to happen? And so I started thinking in a different way, and I was looking at what is going well here. And then I started imagining all of the parents bringing their kid to bed and reading a good night story, all of the kisses between lovers, all of the orgasms happening in this moment, all of the beautiful moments in nature and sceneries that no one is looking at. And then at once I noticed that, it doesn't seem so bad anymore. It's just like a glimpse. And I mean, I can say that because I'm not the one in the war zones, yeah? I can say that now. But they also don't have war all the time. It's not always horrible. And that's when I started looking, and there's a lot of people working on making the world a better place. I mean, at least on themselves. And so the more I looked, the more I found. So it's really a principle. What we look at gets attention and grows. And then it can be dark or light. It can be truth or lies. And that all grows. And after a while now, I found myself in the corner of being an active optimist. Yeah, because you can be a passive pessimist. You can be an active pessimist. Yeah, those are the people that just like put gasoline on the fire. And then the majority of humans I know are like passive pessimists. They're like, it's all going down, but I'm not going to do anything about it. It's just like, why? Like, do you like your own misery? Like, and the truth is going to be, if they look deep enough, it's going to be, yes, I love my own misery more than I love actually getting myself out of the misery, because it's going to cost energy and time. And then there's the passive optimists. I believe it's all going to be great, but I'm not going to do anything for it or against it. It's like, okay. And then the active optimists. And we believe that we actively pursue a better future.
Yeah, but I think very many people think that we are childish and live in the bubble, like you said before.
Yeah. And I mean, anyone can stay where they like.
Yeah.
It's not a problem. The question is the ones who do feel the calling. So, like, I lived in, like, my bubbles are bursting every year. So, like, when I look back a year ago, I don't recognize that guy anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't. And that's scary for a lot of people. Like, I mean, you're, like, if we talked about your mom.
Yeah.
Was it your grandma or your mom?
Your grandma.
My your grandma. Grandma.
Yeah, your grandma. Yeah. I mean, she just had the same over and over and over.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I believe that there's no right or wrong. There's just, is this useful or is it not useful?
Yeah.
And so at a certain point, we need to ask ourselves, is the way that we're living life useful to us and everything around us? And right now we can clearly say that something's off. Like that's like if we ask anyone, there's going to be like something could be done better. And personally, I actually think that everything must be like, who am I to judge the state of the world or the universe? Who, like, I'm not God. I'm not all knowing. I'm not omniscient. I don't have access to the millennia before and after me. So who am I to say? I just have a yearning inside. A simple yearning. Like, since I was a kid, I just want one thing. I want everyone to be happy. Yeah. Yeah. Why? Because when I saw that my parents were happy with each other and when they were loving and all my siblings, we were happy. Those were the best moments of my life. And then I saw when they weren't happy. And I'm not talking about, you know, like stupid happy, 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 you know. Yeah. Talking about true fulfillment. Yeah. You know, like feeling that purpose, having a sense of belonging, knowing how to communicate, how to like be loved and love others, how to receive, how to give. Very simple things that no one teaches today. Or not no one, just very few. Definitely not in the school system. So and nothing wrong with the school system. It's just made for just workers. It's a worker fabric. So it's not there for people to live fulfilled and happy lives. And again, happy is a conundrum because people think life should always be happy. It's like sadness is a beautiful part of life. And suffering is the great transformer. So it brings really this element in that, yeah, being here can be a real blessing. It can be incredible. And it's not so complicated. It just needs the right manual. And I think that somehow we lost this manual. And for some reason, I found pieces of this manual with other people.
You have a copy of the manual.
We're going to distribute it. That's why. And there's some basics that work for everyone, like breathing. Breathwork works for everyone. You don't have to believe in it. And then specific ways of living need to be customized according to genes, sex, and various other things. But then hopefully we can find better ways of being happy with ourselves and others. And that is a deep yearning inside. So I would say, you know, there's a saying that everything is perfect, even the wish for it to be different. So I'm just following that inner calling and that yearning and that piece where I can maybe contribute to make a few people's lives happier and better. And right now we're really doing a great job, you know, with the feedback that we get, because we're always getting feedback in. And there's ways of doing it. And I hope that, you know, now I'm quite lucky. I'm now turning 37. Yeah, so I started really early. So I started really working on myself with 27. And I tell you, I was a mess for sure. Like for a long time, just really lost. And sometimes I still feel lost. But every time I really find faster and faster home inside of me. And then that peace I would love to transmit, because I know what inner peace feels like even in a hellstorm. And that's always when I know, like, okay, it's working. Whatever I'm doing with myself, it's working. Because the more I go, the more I feel like I don't know anything. But the little bit that I do know is very powerful. So I was like bringing to people, we don't have to know everything. We just need to know enough to know when to do the right thing at the right time. Because then we see results. And when we see results, life gets a lot easier because they're like, oh, we can actually do things here. And I think that that is something that I love transmitting.
Mm. It feels like you have a great mission and an important gift to share. Absolutely.
Thank you.
It's amazing. What's your gift to the world, Maria?
Oh, it's me.
Agreed.
It's me. I'm giving myself to you. I was just thinking about how you get your customers or your clients. How do they find you?
I always say they find me when they're ready for change. Yeah. So now usually they get referred through men or other women, because I do also one-on-one coaching still with women.
Yeah.
But they usually find me over other people who tell them about me. And because I don't run any ads, we don't run any at all. And we try to build a company based on referrals, so that one person we need to deliver.
Yeah.
We're big fans of delivering. So delivering results. So we give guarantees. Like, I haven't had a single client who I didn't say, like, if you don't like what you receive and you put in the work, right? It's really important. Like, if you don't put in the work, I'm going to keep your money because you're wasting our time. Both of us, and I'll keep it. But if not, I give always 100% money back guarantee. So very often they find me through the transformational work that I did and retreats and other things. But right now I'm just like going there. And obviously now you can just find us on our website as well. Sculpt.center. S-C-U-L-P. So think of scalp, you know, the scalp thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but with a C and a U. So to sculpt yourself, like a sculpture. Sculpt.center, C-E-N-T-E-R. So there you can get in contact with us and also find our email and other things. So also if you're a woman and wants help and support, just reach out over that. DM for Daniel Müller at sculpt.center.
And Pelle and I, can we come and breathe?
Oh, you're more than welcome. But when you come to mine, we're not going to only breathe. I'm actually going to, like, what I love doing. So I have an infrared sauna at home. Yeah.
Yes.
And a normal sauna, but the infrared sauna I use to facilitate people inside. So I use heat as a way to make you feel very open and relaxed. Yeah. I don't know why more therapists don't use it, because it's just such an easy trick. I mean, imagine yourself laying in the sun, doing deep work and emotional work together. It's much better.
Mm, of course it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's obvious.
I mean, they have the chairs that make them relax. Why not use heat? So it's like only at 55 degree, and the rays, they really make us feel great. So usually then we start and we do some deep relational work. So I use your intelligence to mirror you, and then I comprise what you're saying and feed it back to you. And then you tell me if it's right or wrong, or if you want to change anything. So in this world, usually, you know, one starts talking and then the other one starts talking about themselves. So everyone's just talking about themselves. Yeah. And then, it's true.
Some of us more.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I just have to tell you. I texted Maria a few days ago and I said, I'm not interested to talk to anyone if it's not about me.
Yeah.
There you have it.
And there's a truth to it. So if you find someone who actually really listens, and the trick here, like this is by the way the doorway to anyone's heart. And you listen, and then you just show them that you listened. You know, there's this saying in the spiritual community, I hear you, I see you. I'm like, who says that? You might have been somewhere else. You might have been looking at something else. And who says that you understand what I'm saying? There's a simple way of proving it. Reflect back the person, what they said. And then I share impact. And through sharing impact, we have connection. Because, you know, I could also just sit there and listen and nod. Yeah, it works too. Mm-hmm. But there's something missing in the connection. Because you want to know that the person is not somewhere thinking about food. Yeah. I wonder when this client is going to stop talking. Like, anyone
chocolate.
Can have anything. Chocolate, exactly. And so through the reflecting, you know I'm listening. And I need to listen because I need to reflect back, right? This is a little bit combined to performance. Now it's just very easy because it's second nature. So I almost cannot not listen. You know, when my son interrupts me and he's like super annoying, it's hard not to be present with him all the way through. And so then through that process, we can map out the most important things to you. Because when we're in true connection, we somehow speak from a different place. Yeah, more heart-centered, more connected. And then we might talk about our pains, about our grief, about our sadness. But we're also going to talk about our dreams. And everyone has dreams. We just don't pursue them. A lot of us don't pursue them. But then that's because we have a broken leg. Yeah? So we all have somewhere a broken leg. And we want to climb the mountain. The mountain is our dreams. And so we need to heal the broken leg. And we need to know why. So we need to remember our dream. And then that is a process that we start in the infrared sauna. And now I just got a float tank as well. And I have a light frequency machine that you close your eyes. And then different frequencies of lights, just white lights, get blasted in your closed eyes. And you start flying through a vortex of geometry and colors.
Wow.
It's beautiful. It's like a psychedelic journey. Exactly.
Call the place of shish.
And so these devices, I use them. So I use hot and cold. I also usually have my ice bath set up. And the float tank is there to do sensory deprivation. And so we do deep work with each other to like change our state. And it could be anything. You know, so I always say I used to be a carpenter. Now I have a toolbox to work on people. Wood is also a living thing. So humans, how do we work with them? But instead of me doing things to you, you know, like Isabel's work is amazing, for example. She's such a powerful healer. I just love what she does. So she does things to me. Yeah. And it's very powerful. Like, I just love it. Like, I get as much healing from her as I can on a regular basis because it helps. Like, my HRV, my ring, it just skyrockets. I sleep better. I feel better. It's amazing. And then the way that I work is that I teach you the tools. So I give you tools. And you learn how to master them, and then you don't need me anymore. And I would love the world to function more like this. You know, like I think it was in China or so, doctors only get paid if you stay healthy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine.
Well, then my doctor would be very poor.
Yeah, but I am the healthy one.
Yeah, well, you think so, yes.
So I would love that to be available for all of us. So my motto is always like, how can I get you off of the need of me in your life as soon as possible? And so we reconnect you to your intuition and to your inner center. And when you have that, you need to practice. And then we go through the bottlenecks on the way that is in the way of our energy. Now you have enough energy to move more and do the things that you want to. And depending how long you have been ignoring the signals of your intuition, yes, you're going to have a lot of work to do or a little. So some people have naturally been listening to their intuition, gladly, and some have not. And so for some, that's a really, really big, steep mountain to climb. And that is always a personal question if one wants to do it then. So I understand a lot of people why they actually avoid this kind of work and personal development. The reason why we're doing it in groups as well is because doing it alone is a hell of a job.
Yes.
Yeah. 10 years of personal development and there's still more to find in myself. I'm just like, and most of it I had to do alone or in little pieces with other people. And I was just like, it's so stupid. We were not designed to do life on our own in this way. I mean, Stockholm is a lonely city. Like, I mean, I know people and I'm connected to a lot, but there's something where I'm like, where is this warm feeling of community that is just there? And I know it's there too when people experience it. I'm just at this point where I'm like, you know, we need each other. And divide and conquer works in that way that we all think we are individuals and we don't need anyone else. But, I mean, who's bringing your food? Who's making your electricity? Who's cleaning away your shit? So we're always interdependent. Mm. And the more we rely on people who we really should rely on, I think there's a superpower in grouping together and doing hard work together. It's way more fun. Like bringing 5 or 10 people to go for an ice bath swim is way better than doing it alone in the dark, which I did for a long time when I started. So much more fun, you know? Like shared pain is half the pain.
You can take mine.
I have to climb the Mount fucking Everest, I think.
But you got a broken leg.
Yeah, I did. No, we'll fix it that. Wasn't broken.
Yeah, but you told me today that you fell.
Yeah, I did.
On the stairs.
Yeah,
yeah. I okay. Did. He can't climb any mountains.
I can do wonderful things. Excuse me.
I actually think you could easily, very easily climb the highest mountain in Poland, Mount Snezka, in shorts. I'm quite sure of it.
Yeah, because it's 1 meter high?
No, it's 2,000 meters high. It's not little. It's not little. So it's 1,889, if I remember correctly.
Shit.
So
can I see your calendar? I might be wrong, make an appointment. I can take it to Arlanda.
Oh, you're so nice. Thank you.
Oh, I forgot the best part. You could do it in shorts.
In shorts?
In shorts. In the middle of winter.
Yeah?
Yeah. On a sunny day.
Let's go shopping. He loves to shop. Every time we are going to do something new, like breath work, he comes with a new outfit.
Love it. Yeah.
It's very expensive, this self-development.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Mm. Yeah, I have to cut your hair and...
Yeah.
A new outfit and new shoes and
it's tragic.
It's you need to breathe with style.
Yes.
Yeah. I need breath work.
I didn't do that. When I told you I didn't have any underwear. You didn't like that.
You're the extreme on the other side of the line.
Yin and yang.
Yeah, yin and yang. Makes a perfect match. A match made in hell.
I'm the light worker. You're the dark one.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, it's love great. It. No, but it's really interesting. And it's given me a lot to think about, actually. This.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we have to try. But can we come visit you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Please do.
We'll do it.
Yeah, I'll put you through a process.
We could do as well.
Yeah, because you know, like now we're just talking, right?
Yeah.
So talk is cheap.
Yeah.
But the real work is, can I create an experience for you that you don't have to, like, you know, for example, why I chose breath work to support people in the beginning was because I was thinking about what is the simplest and easiest way to show people that there's so much more to life. Yeah. Very simple, easy way. There's so much more to life than what we have been taught so far. And that was the first one that I know that will have the deepest form of impact. Yeah, so there's an experience to be had. So we need to experience how it is to have no thoughts for minutes. We need to experience deep inner peace. We need to experience feeling good with ourselves. And without those experiences, it just is some kind of like idea. It's like reading books on apples instead of eating an apple.
Yeah.
And so the experience would be, how can I create for you guys in a very short amount of time a feeling of deep connection to yourself? And then from there on, what does that connection create in you when you want that? Because right now, the world is usually based on how can I disconnect? Yeah. I'm not feeling good. Where's the alcohol? I'm not feeling good. Where's the food? I'm not feeling good. Where's the sugar? I'm not feeling good. Where's the random sex? I'm not feeling good. Where's the porn? I know that. I came from that world. Yeah. And without showing that there was an alternative, I had no clue that there was an alternative. I mean, like if someone would have taught me breath work was 16, I mean, I wouldn't have just drank every weekend a lot of beer with my friends. Mm. It just was because there was no other options. And alcohol, like nothing wrong with alcohol. It's just one thing, I feel good now and I feel shitty later. So there's a tax. There's something to be paid.
Yeah.
And then the other is I need to put some work in. It's called a breath work. Yeah, we could also call it breath dance or breath play, but I think breath work, sometimes it was a lot of work to do it. Yes. Like, I didn't want to do breath work every day, but I did it every day. It's like going to the gym. It's not every day like, yeah, let's go to the gym and feel some pain. All right. So, but we pay first and then we feel great later. Mm. So short-term gratification versus long-term gratification. Yeah. Finding a balance between those two, I think that's the real fun thing. So I can give you a wonderful experience and you can just experience it, so it isn't just a concept in our minds. And then from there on, like, I'll put you under the light machine and a few other things. And if Isabella's there, she's going to give you a sound healing too. Amazing. And like, after like 3, 4, 5 hours there, you're just going to learn.
I mean,
yeah, me too. Absolutely. Yeah.
So be more than welcome.
Oh, perfect. Lovely.
I'm going to cry. I know it already.
Though. Yeah. Cry, baby.
I did it the first time we did the breath work. I cried four times.
Yeah. It's common to release and feel a lot of great things. Yeah.
And I told the girls that had the breath work that now when I'm dating, if I have a date, I will force him to try breath work. If he says no, then nothing for me.
Yeah, it can be a little scary for people initially because they get in contact with their feelings again. So like I've seen everyone from young to old, some close down because there's this flood of emotions coming back in and also a flood of sensation. Mm. I mean, we're talking here about like most humans are numb. Yeah. Yes. I've been numb for so long and sometimes I still find places where like, wow. And when it then, you know, when I then breathe or do the right thing or the right somatic movement practices or something, and then it just cracks open and there's another layer and there's just, you know, softness behind. And I love it. I'm like, oh, finally, I'm feeling again. Oh, mm. You know, I've like some of like emotional constipation. But when in the beginning, people have not been feeling, super scary. Now, at once, there's all of these tears coming out of, like, there's water running out of my eyes. What is this? Yes. You know?
Like I said to my friend, he's a little bit heartbroken. And I told him that it's a perfect gift. It's a nice gift to know that you still can feel something.
Yeah.
Even if it's a sadness and unhappy love. But at least it's something.
Agreed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the opener.
Yes.
For more.
Ja, du Pelle.
Ja, så ska du översätta det här också nu då.
Det var till alla lyssnare som inte hängde med. Gör så här, smsa mig. Jag kan skriva ner lite vad som sades. Ja, men min tanke var, men jag ville inte så.
Ja, men det var ju jättebra initiativ du tog.
Jo, men jag tänkte så här, men sen när det här flowet kom så kändes det att men det här vill jag inte bryta, för det här var ju fantastiskt bra.
Ja, precis.
Så att du använder, finns inte någon sån AI-teknik som kan översätta Pelle Lös?
Absolut.
Kan vara en tekniker, han älskar ju utmaningar. Han kommer att översätta det ordagrant.
Ska vi tacka för idag eller har du någonting?
Jag vet inte, det är jätteplatt att avsluta så här. Bara, hej då!
Ja, jag måste gå hem och tänka i alla fall.
Vad ska du tänka på?
Allt det här. Jag tycker det är jättemycket att processa.
Men det känns ju som att det här är en helt ny värld igen som öppnar sig.
Ja, men återigen så många gånger förut så är det ju så saker som är på många sätt självklara. Alltså, men man får liksom en helt ny aha-upplevelse.
Men det är
ju... Och så, alltså förstår du?
Ja, exakt. Jag förstår. Och det är exakt det jag förstår. Att vi tittar ju på någonting som finns där. Men det är ju det här jag säger. Vi sitter ju på läktaren och tittar. Vi måste ju vara nere på dansgolvet och dansa med. Liksom. Mm. Hänger du med? Mm. Vi är bara åskådare hela tiden. Nu hoppar vi in på dansgolvet och dansar.
Ja. Thank you so much for being with us. It was amazing to listen to you, and I think our listeners would think the same.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
We will see.
But I think they will.
Thank you, Pelle. Thank you, Maria, for having me here. And I love your two dynamic. It's very...
Yeah,
like,
it's love and hate in the same bubble.
I love the mix, yes.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Respect.
Respect, yeah.
Okay. Tack kära lyssnare, vi hörs på fredag. Och som sagt, vill ni bolla lite vad som sades i det avsnittet som var på engelska den här gången, hör av er.
Absolut.
Strålande, och tack för att ni lyssnar såklart. Och bjuder in era kompisar in i Facebook.
Ja, det är bra.
Det är bra.
Ha det bra, hej då.
Tack, hej då.